بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. My respected and honorable friends, let us correct our intention that we are sitting here solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to learn in order to attain the reward of performing 1,000 rakats of nafal salah, which has been mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Together's magnitude of reward. My dear respected friends, let's intend from the bottom of our hearts with sincerity. My dear respected friends, they say, do as the teacher says, but don't do as the teacher does. There is a nice, beautiful story of the power of yaqeen. It is yaqeen that we have in our hearts that breaks all barriers. And the stronger our yaqeen becomes, the stronger our iman becomes. Once a simple man heard a Mawlana giving a lecture on the virtues and benefits of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Among the benefits, the Mawlana had mentioned that if Bismillah is recited with yaqeen, that is with firm belief and conviction, wonders can be accomplished. This ordinary simple person said to himself, this is indeed a wonderful prescription, that by reading Bismillah, all of our work can get done. Daily, the simple ordinary man had to cross a river to reach his place of work. He had to pay the ferry boat a few cents for each trip. He said to himself that now with Bismillah, he would be able to save the ferry boat fee. So every day he would say Bismillah and enter the river. But in a few moments, he would be safely on the other side. After some time, he thought, I have to invite the Mawlana for meals to show my gratitude from the wonderful prescription. I have to laugh to you, because that is our job, the Mawlana's. We just eat. You don't see how our stomachs are. That is the trademark of a Mawlana, because they chow. That's why anybody that is not a Mawlana, I see them with a big stomach, I tell them, I'm taking you to court. It's our trademark, you stole our trademark. The Mawlana accepted his invitation and accompanied the simpleton. When they reached the river, the Mawlana halted and asked, where is the ferry boat? The ordinary man said that there was no need for the boat. Let us read Bismillah and cross the river. Obviously, the Mawlana was unable to master the courage for the feat. The ordinary person was surprised, said, Mawlana Sahib, you had taught me the benefits of Bismillah. He took hold of the Mawlana's hand and recited Bismillah, entered into the river, and within moments, boat was safely on the other side. In amazement, the Mawlana said, brother, I am an alim, and you are an amil. Amil means one that makes amal. And the alim is the one that got knowledge of the deen. So my dear respected friends, I'm an alim, you guys are an amil. Make amal. But now, the brothers listen to talks, they don't even make amal. In the end of the day, my friends, I don't want to become a hypocrite. There is a lot of demand and need for me to use the cell phone for, I got over thousands of murids spread throughout the country. They got many queries, many answers, want to know many things. Likewise, the personnel of the Khanqa that are doing preparations for your comfort also need to use the cell phones. Therefore, my dear respected friends, you are as from now allowed to use the cell phones. Salimali Wadiwala, going against your teaching, but use it and don't abuse it. Use it in its limits. Not that you sit on the phone and make lovey-dovey talks for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You got necessity. Hello, salam alaikum, how are you? You okay? I'm okay. We are all okay. Make dua for me. We make dua for you. Wa alaikum salam. Down with the phone. So, the wife is happy, you are happy, the family happy, Allah happy, the sheikh is happy and everybody is happy. You don't easily get reception here, go there on top of Abdul Qadir, you get a lot of reception, go and speak there. But my dear respected friends, remember that your phone must be on silent all the time. For if you disturb somebody, it is haram. If you disturb somebody, it is haram. If you disturb somebody, it is haram. It is a shame on the Muslims. I say again, it is a shame on the Muslims that they got no dignity and respect for their masjid. Take the Christians who follow a wrong religion, that the, you know, you don't hear a pin drop in the church. But you hear the Muslims, Allahu Akbar, make dua for them throughout the world. We heard a certain time, somebody got a message. Ping, 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 on his cell. He can't be concerned as long as I got my message. The balance of the congregation can go to simple words, can go to hell. My work get done. Not concerned that that sound of his cell is disturbing people in the ibadah. The same happened this morning. Everybody went to sleep. Just about falling asleep, some fell asleep, somebody's phone decided to ring. How many people did you get up? How many people's sleep did you disturb? That is haram. We are not looking after the small, small things. We are more worried about the major things. That we should not be drinking, we should not be committing adultery, we should not be stealing. We are worrying about those things. We are not worried about these little, little things. And these little, little things, my dear respected friends, are what collects. And when it collects up, my dear respected friends, that is what you are going to pay for on the day of Qiyamah. What your amal. And that is what the hadith refers to. That you will come with mountains of good deeds. When your counting takes place, you'll be left with mountains of evil deeds. This is it. Come, my dear respected friends. The Sahaba Kiram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in was such that they were now mounted on a horse and they were riding a horse. And the stirrups used to fall off. They used to jump down and pick it up. And never used to ask somebody, please pass it, bring it. They didn't want to give taklif to anybody. So let us lead a life without giving taklif to anybody. That is in the toilet, while eating, in every walk of life. In the masjid, out of masjid, at home. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah had sent me to teach the ummah respect, dignity and manners. So manners is the first thing we must learn. Like for example, if we go into the toilet, we find the toilet dirty. Mustn't say now the toilet is dirty, I must leave it dirty. A true Muslim will clean that toilet and when he leaves it, he'll leave it clean. And a true Muslim will leave a toilet clean, like he would like to find it when he comes in. Leave it for the next Muslim in that way. How many of us are doing that? Nobody can be concerned, man. As long as we are okay, everybody is okay. So as from next year, inshallah, we're changing the color of the carpets. We're going to put red carpets. So VIPs get red carpets. All VIPs here. All big guys, you know. I got this in Zulu, Makulu, all Makulus here. Now, to take that Makulus out of yourself, to take out that you are somebody and something, to take out that pride within yourself, I'm giving you a formula and do it. And inshallah, by doing this formula, it is going to help you a great lot. We read in our Salah, Allahu Akbar, meaning what? Allah is the lowest, and we are the greatest. Then, Allah is the greatest. So if Allah is the greatest, what are we? We are nothing. You can't have two greatest, okay? You only have one greatest, and that is Allah. So in your tarawih, in each rakat, Minimum you read is 5 times Allahu Akbar. And believe me, 90% of the congregation, when they're going from one arkan to the other arkan, like from standing position you go into ruku, the imam says Allahu Akbar. The muqtadi says go into ruku. 90% don't read Allahu Akbar when it is the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam on every arkan to read Allahu Akbar. So make amal on the 20 rakats of the Raweeh tonight, that on each arkan when you're saying Allahu Akbar, think Allah is the greatest, I am nothing, and recite it, Allahu Akbar. See if it brings a change in your life or not, my dear respected friends. See if it brings humbleness in yourself. One question I need to ask in Ramadan and out of Ramadan. Really, if I don't understand, I got to ask. That Fajr time, why do they put all the lights off? Is there anybody that can explain me? Why do they put the lights off and leave namaz in the dark? Is somebody looking for the noor somewhere? If you're looking, then why Isha time you're not putting it off? It's also dark. Come, my dear respected friends, I need answer. I want to know why. Out of Ramadan also. We'll see, we'll start namaz. One brother will come there in the corner and the light is burning. He'll make sure he puts it off before he starts his namaz. This is an Indian thing. Believe me, it's from India. Now we came over the war, over the sea. Let's leave all those things behind. I had one Arab visitor many months ago. He was asking me, what is this here in South Africa you people are doing? That when you read Fajr namaz, you put the lights off. What is the reason for it? I had no answer. Is there somebody that can give me an answer here? Why? Tomorrow, please. Let's not follow Indian traditions here. Rather, let's follow Islamic traditions, okay? Leave the light on. Now, my dear respected friends, one other advice. Whenever you're making your muraqabah, before you're breaking your fast in the evening, the one that will start make you for 5 minutes. You give him 5 minutes. 3 minutes. When you start your muraqabah, go into meditation and make that muraqabah, and in that meditation, my dear respected friend, think that the fares of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming from the throne onto our spiritual mentor Hazrat Shaykh, and from Hazrat Shaykh direct onto you. Now you go direct link, okay? So every day think about it and then make the dua and you will see the difference. Inshallah. Do it with sincerity and you will find the difference. Do it every day. Now this muraqabah, you do not do it only in the month of Ramadan. Do it out of Ramadan also. It will be of great benefit to each one of you. Now, my dear respected friends, when the sun sets today, inshallah, it will be the day of Friday till the sun sets tomorrow. So, let's make good use of it. Always remember in your life, any auspicious day, the reward of your ibadah is also increased in auspicious days. Like, from the 7 days of the week, you read one subhanallah, you will get a certain amount of reward for reading it the 6 days of the week. On the 7th day on Friday, for that same subhanallah, you will get more than the 6 days reward. More than the 6 days reward you will get. So increase your ibadah, especially recitation of salawat durood on Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fridays, my dear respected friends, we spoke about ghusl last week, that from the time of Isa alayhi salam, and even with the animals it carried on, we read the whole story to use. So make sure, ensure that you make ghusl. And it is a sunnah of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wasallam to make ghusl closest to Jummah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam every week used to make his ghusl, go for Jummah, and with that same wuzu and ghusl he used to perform his Jummah. And on the day of Jummah, it is also sunnah to wear the best of your clothes. Not necessarily brand new, but the best of your clothes that you have. For the day of Jummah is the Eid of a mu'min. And my dear respected friends, every Friday in Ramadan, out of Ramadan, make it a habit to give some charity. According to your own means, how much it can be. Like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, give charity even if it is one date. Now it is the value of a date today, it isn't much. So what you can afford, give. But don't pull back. You pull back, Allah pull back. You give, Allah give. The more you give in the path of Allah, the more Allah will give you. So according to your standards, give. If you're a millionaire and then you give 10 cents every Friday, they don't look so, you know, grand style that, you know. And then you're a pauper and then you're giving 1,000 rand. It don't work that way. So according to your income, according to your means, give. The more you give, inshallah, the more Allah will give you. So every Friday, make it a habit to give in and out of Ramadan. Now, my dear respected friends, one sunnah of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that most of the people throughout the world don't make amal on. It is a sunnah of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the khatib, when he is giving the khutbah, in other words, the imam or the maulana or the sheikh, whoever is giving the khutbah, when he is delivering that khutbah, it is sunnah for you to look at him. Wherever you are sitting, when you look at him, it is you are paying attention to what the hadith and the Quranic ayats he is saying. But many find it, you know, a good opportunity, ample opportunity to catch a 40 wing dose. So that doesn't become an ibadah, that becomes a sleep. So don't let your Jummah become a sleep. Because that two khutbahs is like two rakats of salah. Because the Jummah salah became farz in Medina Munawwara after the four farz of Zuhr became farz in Makkah Mukarramah. That's why we find the difference that in the Zuhr namaz, the qiraat is silent. But in the Jummah salah, the qiraat is loud. Because when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahabas used to be in the Haram Sharif in Makkah Mukarramah, the kuffar used to mock them when they used to read the Quran-e-Kareem. That's why in our namazes you will find that the Zuhr and the Asr is there silently. Because it was in the daytime that the kuffars used to be in the Haram. But at night they never used to be there. Now when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat to Medina Munawwara, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made farz. Now four rakats became two rakats. So where the other two rakats gone? In the Mali Shaf's pockets? No. The other two rakats is the khutbah. So like how you need dignity, respect while you're reading the salah, there's the dignity and respect you need for the two khutbahs. Like you cannot talk, you cannot make signs in the two rakats of salah, the same thing you can't do in the khutbah. So look at the khatib from tomorrow, you get sunnah sawab inshallah. Now my dear respected friends, let us read something on salawat. Durood on Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear respected friends, first of all, let us draw fares from the kitab of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali while it is being read. Throughout the course of it, we read for 3 minutes, for three, for ten, for ten. 10 minutes you will be getting the fares of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali coming from his kitab. Who knows, that may be a spark that will change your lives. Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports, once Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived amongst us so very pleased and happy that we could see the pleasure on his face. The Sahaba asked, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that you look very pleased today. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, yes indeed. A message has reached me from my sustainer in which he says, whoever of your ummah recites salat on you once, for him shall Allah write down 10 righteous deeds, wipe out and pardon 10 faults, and raise his ranks tenfold. In another narration, referring to the same incident, it is said, from amongst your ummah, whoever recites one salat, I will send 10 mercies for him, and whoever recites salam once, on him shall I send 10 salams. This hadith is also reported in the following words. One day the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shining with extreme pleasure. The companions had inquired, O Messenger of Allah, the pleasure that is seen on your face this day has never ever been seen before this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, why should I not be pleased and happy? Jibreel alayhi salam has just left me, having said, Whoever of your ummah recites salat on you once, Allah will write down for him the reward of 10 righteous deeds. Forgive 10 sins and raise him 10 times in rank. And one angel shall say about him as he had said. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued, I asked Jibreel alayhi salam about this angel and he said, Allah appoints an angel who, when hearing someone recite Salat al-Nabi, says until the day of Qiyamah, وَأَنْتَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ, and you too, may Allah grant mercy to you. Now you read one, this angel, till the day of Qiyamah, keeps on reading this for you, my dear respected friends. So my dear respected friends, Allama Sakhawi rahmatullah alayhi raised another point of doubt. He says that Allah Ta'ala has said in the Holy Quran that every good deed shall be rewarded tenfold. Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha. Whoever brings one good deed, for him is there a tenfold reward. When that is known, what is the special nature and position that Salat ala Nabi holds for its receiver? This special mention as above and the other extra forgiveness and elevation in rank. Why so much? Our spiritual mentor, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, says, in my own humble opinion, the explanation is simple. That according to the rule, he will be received a tenfold reward separately. And Allah's 10 blessings upon him are a special extra reward. So come, my dear respected friends, the more extra reward you want, go for it. It's there for you. Remember, these are the Ashra, 10 days to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by you reading one Salat al-Nabi, 10 sins of yours are forgiven and pardoned. Ideal. Through the agency of Salat al-Nabi, you are having a forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So read them in abundance. Now we go to a story. My dear respected friends, Muhammad bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala says, I traveled to Baghdad in order to study under Qari Abu Bakr bin Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi. While we were sitting in a circle around him and reciting, an old man entered with a very old turban on his head, wearing an old tattered shirt. There's an old tattered kurta and a very old shawl over his shoulders. When Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala saw him enter, he immediately stood up in honor and respect. He rose from his seat, seated the old man in his place, and inquired about his health and the welfare of his family. Now, Abu Bakr bin Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi was a great muhaddith, teaching hadith in Baghdad. He was one of the luminaries of Baghdad. One of the VIPs, we should say. There we got so many VIPs sitting here. What is Abu Bakr bin Mujahid in front of them? Nuks. These are bigger guys than them. The old man replied, last night a son was born to me. My wife asked me for butter and honey. After hearing what hard times the old man was passing through in poverty, Sheikh Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi became very sad, and in this state, my eyes closed and sleep overtook me. And immediately I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a vision. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why the sadness and sorrow, O Abu Bakr? Go to the wazir, Ali bin Isa rahmatullah alayhi, and convey to him my salam, and indicate to him, you are a man who never sleeps on Friday nights until you have recited Salat al-Nabi 1,000 times. But this last Friday night, you only recited 700 times because a messenger from the king interrupted your recitation as he came to call you to the king's presence. You went there and on returning completed the rest of your Salat on the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Having told him that, tell him to give the father of this newly born child 100 gold dinars for his necessities. Qari Abu Bakr Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi rose immediately and took the old man with him to the wazir. arriving there, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sent this old man to you. When he heard this, the wazir arose from his seat and made the old man sit there. Then asked the whole story, and the Shaykh Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi related the whole incident. The wazir became extremely pleased and filled with joy. He commanded his bondsmen, bring the money back. From it he took out 100 dinars and gave it to the old man. Then he took another 100 dinars to give to Shaykh Abu Bakr Mujahid. But the Shaykh refused to accept it. Further the story goes, the wazir insisted, do take it. I give it because of the tidings of gladness that you have brought me. This was an amal between Allah and myself about which you have brought me good news. No one else knew about it. Take another 100, I give it in reward for the good news you have brought to me. You have made me very happy to know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is aware of my salat recited on him. Take another 100 dinars for the trouble you took to come hither. In this manner he took out 100 after another till a whole 1,000 had been given. Now, we all Molanas, when we get bucks like that, we grab them and put them into our front pocket and back pocket and every pocket. Now, what did Sheikh Mujahid do? But Sheikh Mujahid refused to take any of it, saying, we shall not take anything more than 100 dinars because that is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had commanded. Come, my dear respected friends. You read salawat on Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it reaches Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know that you are reading it. So how much do you want to read? 5, 10, 100, 1000, 100,000? Read. It was going to help you someday, somewhere along the line. If it was not the time up, tomorrow inshallah, we have very, very little time. We'll read another one or two stories about recitation of salawat on Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the Salat and Salam will be recited, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me, you and everybody the tawfiq to make amal, what we hear, we practice on, become better Muslims and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and every day try to increase a little of your devotions. And you will see by the end of Ramadan, those that are sitting for 30 days, they got now about 19 days left, that inshallah by doing that, Allah will give you so much of tawfiq that after Ramadan, when you all want to do your ma'amuls, when you want to do your amals, you'll find a vacuum in yourself. Till you don't finish it, that vacuum will not be filled. And you will feel that for many days. And you keep on fulfilling that vacuum, it will remain with you. But if you just look at the other side from the vacuum, then slowly the vacuum will also be gone. Then you won't have that urge to make ibadat anymore. Then you will become like how you were before Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala accept from all of us. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.